25. Nathan. Nathan watched the displays as the dropship swung across the first of the outer markers. Large, scaffold-like radio towers covered in custom-made sensors extending from the metal like branches. A small cement outbuilding sat near the tower, but right now it was impossible to locate beneath the thousands of trife moving through the area. A large group of them had stopped at the tower and were eagerly attacking its four legs, slashing at the metal with their hard, sharp claws. It would take time for them to cut their way through, but they would get there eventually. Not that there was any benefit to the destruction. The markers were an early warning system, and the warning had already been sent.
"I was hoping the reports were wrong," Pyro said.
"They weren't," Nathan said flatly in reply. His jaw was tight, his chest tighter. There had to be close to 10,000 trife below, a line of them like an oil slick spreading back to the west. Where had they all come from? He had done his best to keep the nests away from Eden Rise. There were no reactors, no strong radiation sources anywhere near the city to attract them. How far had these creatures traveled? It was possible they had covered hundreds of kilometers, maybe even thousands. It was possible the groups were working together in perfect unison. They knew the queens could communicate with one another, and each trife from the same nest formed a network of sorts, able to silently receive orders and react. But the ability for different groups to work together wasn't the same as the practice of one group working together. In his experience, nests of trife often attacked one another when they came in contact, even if there were humans to kill. They were territorial creatures. This was so far out of the ordinary, he had no ability to guess at what was causing it. Humans had come to rely on that territorial nature to survive. If something had changed, if the trife decided to all work as one, humankind would be extinct on Earth within weeks.
"Stay on course for the next marker," Nathan said.
"Roger, General," Pyro replied,
banking the craft to head to the next marker. Nathan tapped on the control surface near his metal right hand, activating the comm.
"Lieutenant Burke."
"General Stacker," Burke replied. "All units are activated and preparing for deployment to the wall."
"ETA?"
15 minutes, sir."
Nathan looked at the display again. The head of the slick was a kilometer away, within 10 clicks of the city. The edge of Eden Rise was visible near the horizon, the shields tinting the air a slight blue.
"Tell them they have 10, he replied. "No excuses."
"Yes, General," Burke said.
Nathan was silent for a moment. His next order sat at the edge of his lips, but he was hesitant to give it. Capitulation to anything wasn't his strong suit.
"Raise the alert level," he said at last, "and begin evacuating the city. Get them on the vessels."
The words were sour through his mouth, but they had to be said.
"General?"
Burke replied. Pyro whipped her head to look at him in surprise.
"There are 60,000 trife bearing down on the city. We have historical records of the shields holding against 10,000, but this is significantly more. I'm not willing to risk thousands of innocent lives on an outcome we can't be assured of. Put them on the ships and keep them ready to sail. If everything goes well, we'll neutralize the threat and everyone can go home."
"Yes, General," Burke said. "Understood. It will be done."
"Stacker out."
Nathan cut the comlink. Pyro was still looking at him.
"What?"
"Be careful, Nathan," she replied.
"I'm not going to let innocent people die to keep a secret," he said. "Besides, where the hell is the trust when we really need them? Or Centurion Space Force, for that matter. We should have the firepower to turn back an assault like this, but we don't. We're on our own out here. Just like we've always been."
Pyro offered a reassuring smile.
"We'll get through it."
She turned her head back around.
"Approaching Outer Marker Epsilon."
Nathan's eyes were fixed on the displays. The scene at the second marker was almost identical to the first. A massive number of trife were marching on Eden Rise, some of them stopping to attack the radio tower.
"I've seen enough," Nathan said. "Head back to the city. We'll load up on all the clusters we have and head back out. We can thin the ranks by a few thousand at least."
"Roger, General," The ship banked again, streaking toward the city. Edenrise had existed under another name long before the shield had gone up, one of many population centers spread across the former United States of America. It was composed of a collection of buildings of different shapes and sizes and densities, some untouched by the ravages of the First Trife War, others broken, crumbling, and long abandoned, and the majority in one phase of reconstruction or another that would take another century or more to complete. The sea abutted the east end of the city, the north side and inlet that had once provided a home to the warships of the United States Navy. A few of the ships still rested there, floating calmly against reinforced piers, acting as both supply storage, housing, and in this moment, an emergency escape plan for the many residents. And there were a lot of residents, nearly 50,000. Edenrise was the largest city on the planet. It was also the safest city, thanks to the energy shield that radiated out from the spire in the center, offering a level of protection that couldn't be found anywhere else. Not even Proxima had a shield like it, because they didn't have a power source like it. The shields meant the residents of Edenrise had lived in relative safety for nearly 50 years now, save for a single incident where the shield had failed and some trife had made it inside. They had little concept of the world before the invasion, little concept of the lives of other humans outside the shields. They didn't know the constant danger. They didn't know the constant fear. They went about their daily business without concern for the outside world, able to walk the streets at all hours, spend their free time at the beaches or parks, and otherwise live a somewhat normal life. It was as much a paradise as its new name suggested, a paradise the enemy was on the verge of shattering, for reasons still unknown to Nathan. Pyro guided the dropship over the top of the city, vectoring toward the towering, needle-like spire that stood sentry over the settlement. It was one of the few structures that wasn't already in place when the Trife invasion began, and it dwarfed everything around it.
Edenrise Control, this is General Stacker, Nathan said. Set a 5-second break for 0345 and synchronize. Copy that, General, one of the controllers in the room at the base of the spire replied. Stand by for entry.
A signal was passed to synchronize the countdown. Pyro set the ship to circle above the spire while they waited. The shields would shut down for 5 seconds, offering a brief window for them to slip below. Nathan's eyes fixed on the down-facing camera. The external sound feed was currently shut off, but he didn't need it to imagine the blare of the emergency alert system and a calm voice from control urging the residents to make for the old naval ships. Most of them were following instructions, acting calm while they retreated to their homes to grab a few meager belongings and head for the ships. Most, but not all. Some of the civilians didn't understand the need to be ready. They might even refuse to leave their homes. It was the price of security when that security became threatened. Nathan knew the countdown had completed when the dropship banked and dropped more rapidly than before, the inertia pulling him back into his seat. They swooped in beside the spire, circling it on the descent. 5 seconds later, the shields went back on, casting the city in a web of protection once more. They continued to drop, reaching 100 meters before leveling off and easing over to the airfield near the ships. Ranks of soldiers were already organized on the grounds beside the airfield, uniformed, armed, and ready to head for the western wall just inside the energy barrier. The walls had been built long before the shields, the geography of the city and the surrounding water leaving only one side vulnerable to the trife. 20 meters high and composed mostly of crushed vehicles, it had seen its share of fighting over the years and had remained intact throughout. The soldiers waved at the dropship as it passed over them. They landed on the tarmac near one of the large hangars where the Liberator vehicles and equipment were kept. A pair of armed and armored officers were already waiting for him there, along with the car to take him wherever he asked to go. Nathan stood as the ship touched down. Pyro started to stand too.
Stay here, Nathan said. I'm going to get those clusters loaded ASAP and I want you airborne again. We might have enough time to do 2 runs if we can move fast enough.
I can deliver them fast enough, Pyro said, regaining her seat.
I know you can. You have the bridge.
Nathan squeezed her shoulder before hurrying from the bridge and down into the cargo hold. He stepped back into his powered armor, waiting while robotic arms closed it around him. He moved out to the back and opened the rear ramp.
General Stacker, Major Bushi said.
Short and thin, he didn't have the look of a soldier, but he had the spirit of one. He was standing with Colonel Daw, an older, grizzled former scavenger with thin white hair and a stubbly, wrinkled face, and only half his original teeth. Nathan activated the suit's external speakers. His voice came out deeper and more synthetic through them.
Bushi, find Captain Jonas. I want the dropship loaded with cluster rockets 10 minutes ago.
Yes, sir,
Major Bushi said, sprinting toward the hangar.
Colonel, I want you leading the defense of the wall.
That's why I'm here, sir, Daw replied. Burke says we're looking at 60,000 of the bugs.
We're hoping to drop those numbers a bit, but yes, they'll be at the wall within the hour.
We'll be at the wall within 20 minutes, General.
Follow me.
Nathan headed away from the dropship. He could hear Captain Jonas's harsh shouting behind him, screaming at her techs.
Get the damn cluster rockets loaded already! What the hell is taking so long?
He appreciated her enthusiasm. He made his way to the head of the assembled soldiers. An entire company was already assembled, another getting into position further afield. He increased the volume on his speakers as he came to a stop in front of them.
Attention!
He snapped, the word reverberating through the speakers. A thunderclap sounded as 1,000 men and women straightened and clicked their booted heels together.
Every last one of you came to Eden Rise searching for the same things. Security, freedom, family, community, Nathan said. Every last one of you volunteered to become part of the USSF and to carry on the traditions of our ancestors as defenders of our way of life. But here in the city, and out there beyond the shield, you're warriors, fearless, and brave.
He paused for a moment, walking down the front line. He could see the fear in some of the soldiers' eyes. He could see resolved fury in others.
I don't know why the Trife decided today was a good day to pick a fight. I don't know why they're teaming up against us. What I do know is that we're the USSF. This is our home, and shield or no, those bastards aren't getting in.
Hoorah!
The soldiers shouted in reply, their cry loud enough to echo across the entire city. Nathan could hear Colonel Daw's orders as he passed them to each of the leaders through his comm, and a moment later the platoons began to move out. They would cut through the city along cordoned streets back to the wall, where they would ascend to the top and wait for the hell to come. The plans for defending the city had been drawn up a long time ago and practiced every year on John Stacker Day, in honor of the first General Stacker, who had kept the war against the Trife on Earth going long after the generation ships had fled and who had founded the original Eden Rise. Nathan was a clone of the general, a spitting image of the famous war hero. That practice was paying off now, keeping the troops organized as they deployed to their defensive positions. Nathan went across the field to Second Company and repeated his short speech, sending them out with boosted morale before crossing the fields to the Third. Eden Rise had 5 companies in total, each boasting between 1,000 and 1,200 soldiers. 5,600 humans against 60,000 Trife. He was glad they had the shield. He turned when he heard the dropship rising behind him, and he watched as it circled the spire, ascending away and past the shields. The Trife were getting close, enough so that he was able to use the zoom on his armor's visor to keep the ship in view as Pyro dropped the clusters across one of the slicks. He heard the explosions in the distance, though not as far in the distance as he would have liked. Then the ship circled back, re-entering the energy field within 10 minutes from launch and repeating the process one more time. Nathan didn't have time to linger and watch the second run. He joined the 5th on their march west to the wall.
Major Bushi, he said through his comm as he walked.
Yes, General, Bushi replied.
Have a transport loaded with rounds for my rifle and have it positioned near the center of the wall.
Yes, sir.
Nathan checked his levels. The suit had recharged some while it was plugged into the dropship, returning the battery to 90%. Extended heavy use would drain the supply in about 4 hours, after which the powerful armor would become a useless iron prison. There was no way the battle was going to last 4 hours. He expected to either be celebrating or dead within 2 hours.